Hello everyone, and welcome to Chemistry is Everywhere, a show where I will talk about chemistry in our daily lives and in the world around us. Today, I will talk about the chemistry of water. The molecular formula is H2O. Systematic chemical name, dihydrogen monoxide. Pure water has no odor, no taste, a pH of 7.0. We'll come back to that. And in small quantities, like in a water bottle, water seems to have no color. But in large quantities, in the sea, in the oceans, water appears to have an intrinsic blue color. And we'll discuss some details when we talk about the molecular absorption of visible light later in this episode. Water consists of two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom connected by covalent bonds. And this configuration gives water unique physical properties. Oxygen is more electronegative than hydrogen, so the positive nucleus of the oxygen pulls harder on the negative electrons in the covalent bond than the hydrogen nucleus does. As a result, the oxygen gets a partial negative charge and the hydrogen gets a partial positive charge. So a water molecule is in chemical terms a polar molecule. It has a positive and a negative side. The electrostatic attraction between a positive hydrogen and a negative oxygen of a neighbor molecule is called a hydrogen bond. And it's these hydrogen bonds that give water a boiling point of about 200 degrees higher than similar molecules. So water is a liquid at room temperature, whereas molecules like hydrogen sulfide, hydrogen selenide and hydrogen telluride are gases. The water molecule is formed in a V shape, and that is due to the repulsive effect of the two lone electron pairs on the oxygen atom. The hydrogen-oxygen-hydrogen angle is about 104 degrees. Because of hydrogen bonding, water has a very high specific heat, around 4.2 megajoule per kilogram per degree at 25 degrees. And this means that water heats up but also cools down very slowly compared to most other products. For those of you who are into statistics and rankings, this is the second highest value for all products. Only ammonia has a higher specific heat, and that is also due to hydrogen bonding in the ammonia molecule. Water also has a very high heat of vaporization and a very high surface tension of about 72 millinewtons per meter, and that is due to the strong cohesive forces between the water molecules as a result of hydrogen bonding. As a result of this, for example, insects can walk on water, or you can put a paper clip on top of a water surface. And also the capillary action in plants and trees is a result of the high surface tension of water. Plants can transport water from the roots until the leaves for distances of above 100 meters. So that is why trees can be so high. The density of water reaches a maximum at 4 degrees C, and unlike other liquids, water becomes less dense as it freezes. So in other words, ice floats on water. And this is caused by the reduction of thermal motion below 4 degrees, which reduces the impact of hydrogen bonding. So water of 4 degrees will sink to the bottom because of the higher density, and ice forms on the surface, insulating the water below. And without this protection, most aquatic organisms would not survive in cold climates. Water is an excellent solvent for ionic and polar compounds. So when a polar product is dissolved in water, it is surrounded by water molecules, which is called hydration. The relatively small size of water, which is about 3 angstroms, allows many water molecules to surround one molecule of solute, which is usually much bigger, and the negative dipole ends of the water are attracted to the positive parts of the solute, and vice versa for the positive dipole ends. So in general, ionic and polar substances such as salts, sugar, carbohydrates are soluble in water, and non-polar products such as fats and oils are not soluble. They don't mix with water. The pH of pure water is 7, and as pH is defined as the negative logarithm of the hydrogen ion concentration. If acidic components are present, so hydrogen ions, then the pH is below 7, and if alkaline components are present, then the pH is above 7. Rainwater is slightly acidic, it has a pH of around 5.5. due to the absorption of carbon dioxide from air. In water, this forms carbonic acid that donates hydrogen, so pH below 7. If high amounts of nitrogen oxides or sulfur oxides are present, you see that in industrial areas, then these will also dissolve in rainwater and reduce the pH even further. That's what is called acid rain. Seawater has a pH of around 8.1, so that's slightly alkaline, and that is due to the presence of carbonates. And carbonates form bicarbonate with water, and as a result of that reaction, hydroxide ions are produced. So these cause the slightly alkaline pH of seawater. Seawater also absorbs carbon dioxide from air, but the effect is very small on the pH. In season 2, when we go into detail about the water cycle and the carbon cycle. We will go into more detail about this. Now back to the color of water. Water owes its intrinsic blue color to the absorption of light in the region between 600 and 800 nanometers. So that is the red end of the visual spectrum, so to say. And this results in a blue color. So if red light is absorbed, then what is visible is blue. And the water molecule absorbs due to the molecular vibrations in the infrared region around 2800 nanometers and around 6100 nanometers. The absorbed photons, they promote changes in the motions in the nucleus of the water molecules. And this is really remarkable, as this is the only known example where matter owes its color due to nuclear vibrational transitions. All other materials that we know, the color originates from the interactions between light and electrons and not the nucleus of the atoms. Liquid water also has a broad absorption spectrum in the microwave region. It has been explained in terms of changes in the hydrogen bond network, and this gives rise to a broad microwave spectrum. And the absorption is used in microwave ovens to heat food that contains water molecules. To round off this episode, I would like to say a few words about the effect of water on the atmosphere and our climate. Because water vapor is a greenhouse gas in the Earth's atmosphere, just as carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide, and ozone. And it's responsible for more than 50% of the atmospheric absorption of thermal radiation by the Earth. And that's what we know as the greenhouse effect. In simple words, the greenhouse effect is the way in which heat from the Earth's surface is trapped by greenhouse gases. There's an easy way to explain this. That if you have an early spring evening, the sky is clear, then heat will escape and temperature can easily drop to freezing. But if there's a cloud cover, then heat is trapped by water vapor, because clouds, that's water vapor. And that's act as a greenhouse gas, and then the temperatures will stay warm. In a future episode, we will look at water for producing green hydrogen by electrolysis. Presently, most hydrogen is still produced in oil refineries, but that's not sustainable. Thanks for listening, and if you have any questions, comments, feel free to send me a message. Hope to see you again on the next episode.